Position Informatics Jobs Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 3. I'm Jeff Nielsen from Kettering Health Network in Dayton, Ohio. And it's an exciting time. I don't know about for you guys, but we're starting our interviews for fellows. Just recorded this interview with Matthew Sakamoto yesterday, I think it was. And he is very interesting to talk to. He did most of his initial work as a consultant as he came out of fellowship.
Interview.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for joining me.
No problem. Looking forward to this.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So I guess I'll work backwards. Clinically, I'm an internal medicine primary care physician with kind of a focus more on the telehealth virtual care space, and also fellowship trained in clinical informatics. Finished up that at UCSF in 2020.
Okay, so so tell me what you did as you were getting out of fellowship. So you finished 10 years, yeah, 20 or 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah, just 2 years ago. Battling the pandemic, so would not recommend graduating amidst a global pandemic. So I graduated in June 2020. Interesting career path, I think, for myself, because I think initially I was thinking I would work at like a big health system, kind of, you know, large integrated health systems kind of go along that CMIO track. Mm-hmm. Middle of pandemic, a lot of health systems suffered financially, so no one was offering position administrative support. But interestingly, at that time, a lot of the venture capital money, the VC money, was flowing into a lot of the digital health startups, particularly telehealth. So I actually fielded a bunch of offers in the telehealth space, different places like Teladoc, PlushCare, Circle Medical. So a lot of different groups were hiring clinicians, but also clinicians to do a combination of clinical work via telehealth, but also I got to do a little bit of work on the product side. So ultimately, my first job straight out of fellowship was with a small startup called Circle Medical.
Okay, and Circle Medical was a telehealth company then?
So they actually started out as a hybrid primary care company, and I call them Baby One Medical, basically. So, you know, the One Medical model with like a smaller footprint. So they had two physical offices in San Francisco, but also a pretty large telehealth program. So I kind of had a hybrid setup where I would do 3 or 4 days a week virtually, and then 1 day a week in
clinic. Okay. And the virtual days were, well, what were you doing? Was it patient care?
Yeah. All a combination of urgent care and primary care. So, you know, they're billed as a primary care affiliate of UCSF. So a lot of things, like most things on the side of the digital divide, tended to be younger patients, access to a smartphone and things like that. But, you know, we were doing health checks. We actually got away from calling them annual physicals, really calling them annual wellness. Right? There's a lot of stuff that you can do just by checking lab work and assessing kind of social determinants of health and just overall health habits. So we really, I would say I was doing truly primary care and not just urgent care during.
Okay. Okay. Did you have like a part of your time dedicated to informatics?
I did. And that was kind of the nice, yeah, no, it was. So the nice part about having the clinical informatics background and the training was my initial split, at least on paper, was 80-20. So 80% time was clinical work. And then 20% time was actually devoted to kind of admin time. And really, I was kind of on the product team. So there was a engineer that I worked with. And then I kind of reported up dually to the CMO, chief medical officer, as well as kind of the chief product officer.
So how'd you find that job?
Let's see. Job advice that I'll give to kind of new fellows or people kind of looking to break into this space is that most of the jobs that you're going to find are not posted. I think they had a purely clinical position open that I applied into, but pretty quickly asked for, hey, I come in with this other skill set. Is there a way to kind of split time and provide protected time, basically, for informatics-like work? And specifically, I was kind of working on the interface side of their homegrown. So I got to do a lot of kind of work. And
Okay, that's awesome. So you weren't working there before you finished, right? Like, did you moonlight for a little bit there or anything? It was like a clean swap. You like left UCSF.
Yep. Yeah, it was basically graduated from UCSF June 30th, started with them July 1st. Didn't have a chance to do that. I probably would have, again, had it not been pandemic. So there was a lot of other things wrapping up with the UCSF side of stuff. And I got a lot of my telehealth experience basically launching UCSF's version of a COVID video visit screening clinic. So there was not a lot of excess with my last 3 months of fellowship.
See. So you did have, it sounds like you had a skill set from the telemedicine part of your fellowship, and you were able to convince the new company that you could make an experience.
Yeah, I think there's a level of technical knowledge. I think that's helpful. But really the thing that I pitched then and continue to pitch now is understanding of workflows. A lot of things you take for granted when you're in a clinic, it's like, oh, you can just turn to your left and ask, versus like, how do you message when I'm in my apartment, the nurse is in the other apartment, and the patient is in their home? How do you kind of bridge a lot of these kind of back office communication pieces? What are the workflows? You know, you used to just print out and hand a patient an after visit, so when the visit's done, you can kind of email it to them, but like, you know, is email secure? So all these questions that like used to just easily answered in a physical realm, additional complications come up in when you change it to telehealth into virtual. So I'm able to kind of, I've done it in a couple of different realms now. So I've walked through, kind of run into those roadblocks, have problem solved the roadblocks a couple of different ways. So at least to me, that's kind of the process portion of people, process, and technology is a piece that I'd pitch, show my value.
Yeah. So are you still working for telemedicine companies?
So I actually, yes, I've bounced around. The up and downside of startup world is that it moves very fast. Companies grow up, fold, get acquired, et cetera. So actually over the course of my first 2 years after fellowship, I think I cycled through like four or five different companies. So it's a combination of cultural fit, stage of company, how big or small they are, and kind of what I was looking for at the time. So actually I'm ultimately back in a larger health system. I work at a large integrated health system in Northern California. Now kind of, again, doing a hybrid virtual care practice. So, 4 days a week, I work from home. 1 day a week, I'm back in clinic. So it's actually funny. Things tend to go full circle. But prior to that, I was at virtual only companies. So I was at Teladoc for a bit, worked at Plush Care, for a bit, and then did some consulting with, other companies as well. So
how'd you find all these, you know, so you've had, you know, some people struggle to find one job. You've had like four or five. And so it's one thing to get the job. I mean, I know that they dried up, but you were able to land, you know, a bunch of informatics jobs. How'd you get them? Were you just like advertising, talking in person, email? What'd you do? Reputation?
Yeah, no, great question. It's a little bit of everything. It's heavy networking. And like I mentioned in the beginning, like usually the particularly kind of these split roles are never posted. They either want you fully on the product team and or engineering team or fully as a clinician. It's hard to kind of split that difference. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it comes down to relationship building and network. And I can talk through the different ways I've done that. But a lot of these jobs I've either heard about from a friend and like got in touch with whoever the hiring manager was at that company. Mm-hmm. Or I've had direct outreach. So I think some of the part of the networking is kind of putting yourself out there. So I'm fairly active on Twitter, as well as really beefed up my LinkedIn profile, probably the last months of fellowship through definitely this time now. And then mm-hmm. I've done webinars and speaking gigs for like American Medical, some stuff through AMIA, Informatics, and other places. So I think getting yourself out there never hurts. And then there's a couple of networking groups that I'm with. So Matter Health, Health Tech Nerds, or use either email listservs or Slack channels. So putting myself out there a lot, and I enjoy it, but it's kind of getting your name out there, and then you get both inbound, you know, kind of requests, and if I do outbound requests, they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember I saw you post that thing on Twitter, or I remember I saw you give that webinar through. So it's getting yourself out there. It's shameless self promotion.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of? So when you gave your talk at AMA, you said it was at AMA, was it?
AMA, American Medical Association. Yeah.
So was it that you met people there, or you just gained notoriety, or you think it just made you look, like, increased your reputation? What do you think?
I'm trying to figure out what the initial outreach was. I know they did have a whole telehealth series, and I think that's actually one suggestion that I'll give to early career informatics folks is, informatics means everything and nothing, so kind of pick your niche. So my niche was kind of virtual care and telehealth. Mm-hmm. So I was talking, and again, I can't remember what my initial outreach was, but like kind of having excellence in virtual care, performing the virtual exam, digital empathy are all things that I've kind of talked about and tweeted about. So I think there was some level of, this guy seems like he knows what he's talking about. Let's see if we could have him discuss it a little bit more. And then once you kind of do it once and do a pretty good job, people ask you back. So I've done at least two talks for the AMA.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's really cool. I will put links to those in the show notes, because I don't know. Are they on video? Are they online?
Yeah. So they're actually posted on YouTube. And actually the thing that I really, really like about AMA in particular, but I think like you could actually do this for yourself, is sort of creating blog posts around it. Because each of these talks are somewhere between 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And no one wants to sit through that long of talk most of the time, but they have like a condensed blog post as well, so you can kind of like skim through the highlights, see the parts that we're in. So I think AMA does a really good job of doing that. There's a couple of other groups that I work with, MDisrupt, where we'll do a webinar and then they'll actually create sort of a one pager out of it. And I think that creating those takeaways is another way to kind of quickly get that information out that, you know, people.
Yeah. Someone told me to do that for my podcast and I don't want to, and maybe I'm just lazy, but it sounds like maybe I should do something like that because part of this is a conversation, so it makes it tough to, but anyway, so cool. So these gigs, it sounds like they dry up after like 6 months to a year. Is that what, like, how is it working? Like, you're part of the dev team, you contribute for a while, and then you start to realize you don't have time for them, or do they like run out of funding for you, or how does that work?
It's a little both. I think it's all of the above. And again, the stage of companies I tended to work with are kind of like seed, pre-seed, series A. So like generally, like there's like less than like 30 people at each of these. And okay. I think and doctors are expensive. I think that's the hard thing. Like the salary that we ask for tends to be higher, even than that oftentimes. So I think it's consistently proving value. And the other part about it too is like, once you've kind of provided clinical insights, once they got that piece, it's like not a whole lot more in terms of the improvement. At that point, they're just kind of optimizing core product. So having like those big insights and other pieces usually isn't quite what they're needing at that time. Or they're trying to do sales. And again, a physician salary or even a portion of a physician salary is far more expensive getting a sales.
Yeah. So the startup world sounds interesting. So have you ever like done the startup thing yourself, or are you just working with?
I have not had the courage to be a founder. I've worked with many of them. I've kind of enjoyed the consultant like lifestyle, uh-huh. But I have not fully shouldered the weight and terror of launching my own company.
Yeah. It just seems like a lot of risk. A lot of, it seems like a lot of people feel like a lot of docs feel like they have a lot of good ideas. But, you know, as I've learned about sort of like the process between like going from a good idea to a business model to proof of concept to getting funders or to getting finance, it's just a lot of effort. And it's more than most doctors want to do. They'd prefer to just move the meat, as we say in emergency medicine sometimes. Yeah.
And I think it depends on what you want, right? Like for me, I almost think of it like clinic or primary care. It's like you come in, you diagnose a problem, you recommend some sort of treatment or, you know, plan forward, and then kind of move to the next thing. And again, with different companies, I've had different levels of relationships. Some have, I kind of go in, solve one problem, and then move on. Other ones, it is almost like a primary care relationship where it's like, okay, solved one thing, new problem comes up. Okay, so it's more continuity of care. Mm-hmm. So each company has been different. And again, kind of depends on their needs at the time and then my bandwidth.
Yeah. Do they tend to pay you about what you get clinically or a lot less?
It's usually a little bit less. And it again, kind of depends on like the length of engagement versus kind of level of expertise that I bring as well. So it's like, yeah, if they're just like needing generic primary care insights, fine. Like they can get that from me or any other primary care doc. So that tends at a lower scale. If they're like looking for specific virtual primary care workflows, that can command a slightly higher per hour. Less people have done it in different.
So what are you looking at doing kind of going forward as far as your, like, do you like your 20%, 80% right now? Or?
That's a $1 million question. I like learning new things. I think there's a level of, again, I went into internal medicine for a reason. I feel like from your end, emergency medicine, same thing as like, yeah, shiny object syndrome. You like to kind of always see what's the next thing. So I think a lot of my hopping from my own wanting to. So I think ideally though, like that 80-20 split, ideally if I get that closer to like a 50-50 split, even 40% clinical, 60% kind of more informatics time is where I'd ultimately want to be. I like and love having a clinical primary care panel, but it does, primary care is hard. And it's, so you want to be able to kind of like have protected time base of both gain insights from being at the bedside, being in the clinic, seeing the difficulties of your colleagues with workflows, as well as the difficulties that patients face accessing care, and then being able to take those insights.
Okay. Well, I know I don't have you for very long today. So let me, I put together some questions that are some quick questions that I didn't give you I didn't give you a heads up. Oh, well, hope you're okay with it.
And let's do it.
Hold on just a second while I pull up. Okay, I'm calling them the Super Six. And,
all right.
And if these don't go well, then I'm just going to delete them and no one will even know. Okay, what's your favorite informatics topic?
Ooh, interoperability is pretty high up there.
All right, interoperability. Pet peeve in informatics.
People? I don't know, is that an option? It's people, process, and technology. The technology part's usually fine. Processes are able to be fixed. People take the longest to...
So changes, getting people to change. That's funny. All right.
The change management part is the hardest part.
Okay. What about favorite movie ever?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. Superbad jumps to mind. I'm a big fan of comedies.
Yeah. All right. I haven't seen that. Maybe I'll have to look. Favorite informatics study or book? If you're going to reference something.
Yeah. I mean, Fennell and Dixon got me through a lot of, got me through my board exam, and I go back to that a lot. So the informatics study guide, quite good.
All right. Yeah. I think they're putting out a new edition. I've got mine.
Yep.
Right,
yeah. Just second edition just came out. I know a couple of people that revamped some of those chapters. So no, shout out to them. The big Bible is also helpful, but I tend to go back to the study guide Cliff Notes version.
All right. Any informatics regrets?
No, I think each stage I thoroughly loved. Yeah, no, none at all. I said I did a little bit of informatics research as a medical student, got to do some epic go lives as a resident, did the clinical informatics fellowship, and then really, yeah, got to kind of explore both sides of the innovation piece, operations, and just knowledge gathering piece. So no regrets at all.
That's awesome. You know, I thought about that. I'm going to editorialize. You know, I thought about that question I was writing, and I'm like, do I have any regrets? I don't think I have any. There were times that felt risky and that maybe didn't turn out the way I wanted, but it ever felt like I had a regret. I feel good about it. So it sounds like you're saying the same. All right, last question.
It's a winding road, and each part, there's a decent chunk to be learned from it. It's not like you're doing a cardiology fellowship where you have to learn these sets of skills and just everyone. It is truly a build your own adventure. So each step really does help build on.
All right. Last question, Matt, is what's your 5-year informatics prediction?
Ooh, I mean, I'm going big on virtual care. So I think in 5 years, at least in the outpatient realm, I think like greater than of all care and be able to.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a huge number. Well,
I'm going big.
Yeah, go big or go home. I love it. Okay, so thanks for meeting with me. I appreciate you letting me take up your time slot. And I think that you're going to, you know, what you said is going to be helpful for the residents or the fellows out there who are looking for jobs and thinking about following careers in similar footsteps. Any last words before I let you go?
No, I'll say, I mean, I love the mentorship piece as well. So like I said, I don't hesitate to reach out to me because I'm active on Twitter, socials, and everything like that. I'm sure there'll be links in the show notes. But yeah, don't hesitate to reach out. It's a non-traditional path. So it's kind of talking to those that have forged ahead, always helpful. And I'm happy to help.
Thank you.
Wrap up.
Matt gives a good interview and is a super nice guy. It makes me wish I was sharing the video. Maybe someday I'll release it, but it's just a lot more effort. I like how he spent his fellowship thinking he'd work at a big hospital system, but when that didn't work out, he networked his way into consulting. I put a link in the show notes for the article he wrote for Telehealth and Medicine. It's titled Enhancing Digital Empathy and Reimagining the Telehealth Experience. I think that by first gaining the expertise, then publicizing it via AMA presentations, then AMA online news articles, not to mention the actual manuscript, he built his reputation enough that telemedicine companies knew they needed him. After the podcast, and I'm not making this up, Matt told me that he should have said his favorite article is the one that he and I wrote together. It's about how to write an informatics case report. Since he brought it up, I'll explain. He and I felt there was too high a barrier for typical fellows to publish their great work. They are doing so many things in the health system, but not all of it is being evaluated and studied rigorously enough to warrant a full paper, but it's still worth talking about. We decided that we ought to help out by sharing an outline on how to write a simple report on these simple applied projects. This doesn't have to just be for fellows, of course. We wrote the manuscript in a way that guides you through the outline and the goals of this type of short report. It's where a case report in informatics is where the case is your health system undergoing an intervention. We published it in ACI Open, or Applied Clinical Informatics Open, which is the name. Refers is open access. I put a link in the show notes if you're interested about the article. As you know, your projects during fellowship will be talking points during the interview process for your first job. Writing an ACI case report would further support it if there's any possibility you're going to be interviewing at medical centers that care about academic productivity. If there's no way you're going that direction, then maybe it won't matter as much. But I think it's a good exercise because it teaches you how to recognize how to sell yourself, including your projects. Thanks again to Matt for his advice and his stories. Good luck to all of you in finding ways to get paid for your expertise.
Get paid for what you do.